Wait.
What do you mean, wait, fellas? I count down. I ask you 2 minutes ago if you guys are ready. Then I'm not ready. So then I... What a great start to the show, huh? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Backliners Podcast. It's Agro and Barracuda, as per usual. Today, joined by the two-time world champion support, Neil Ma. Neil, thanks for coming on the show, buddy.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Neil, I've decided I'm going to open the show by ambushing you with a tough question.
It's not going to be tough. No questions tough for me.
Okay, well, I think it might be tough for you as I turn you down a little bit. Oh, okay. You got you're coming in to do some content with us tomorrow. You know, mm-hmm. we're gonna hang out. We're gonna have some fun, and then we are going to play pickleball afterwards. Are you gonna come play pickleball with us?
Yeah, why not? Sounds like fun. I really want to.
Nice.
Well, we really ambushed him.
We really ambushed him. Did it. Well, listen, I peer pressured him into saying yes. Here's the thing, Barry, is that I wanted him to come, and so I thought that maybe if I put pressure on him to come publicly, he'd be more likely to say yes.
So you don't think
it's something I want to do? It's just something I've been wanting to do.
Yeah, but now you get points for it anyways, Neil. And this is the most important part. Everyone knows that we are hanging out.
Yeah, you're my good friend. And we hang out, yeah.
There it is. Thanks, man. That sounded very genuine, and I appreciate that.
You don't need to say thank you. It's just like we're friends. Like, I don't know. Like...
It's going to be good. Let me tell you.
What is going on? I'm so confused already.
Sounds like we're doing great for the show. Apologies for no show last week, everyone. Obviously, I was hoping to be able to do it, but I came back from Pittsburgh a little bit too late. Fellas, I was at a wedding, and before we get into the Smite talk, I wanted to tell you about something horrible that happened to me at this wedding. I thought that the podcast might really enjoy this. I was at the wedding, and I was having a good time, you know, dancing, and then... got a little uncomfortable. Maybe.
Poop yourself?
Uncomfortable down in my pants in some way.
I knew it was coming.
You see, fellas, I had forgotten to use the ball lotion from Manscaped that came in my Performance Package 2.0. And so I was chafing a little bit while I was dancing on the dance floor. And that's obviously unacceptable. I thought that opening the show with the Manscaped ad might throw you guys off a little bit. But Neil was ready for it. It was good. Fellas, do you know what's spookier than seeing a black cat on Halloween? Man. It's shaving your balls with anything other than Manscaped. When it comes to below-the-waist grooming, there's no need to carve your pumpkins this Halloween because Manscaped is here to upgrade your grooming experience. Neil, you might want to pay attention to this next line. Go from a bite-sized candy bar to a king-sized candy bar and join the 2 million men worldwide by going to manscaped.com/back for 20% off plus free shipping. You know what's crazy is I don't even write these. The Manscaped copywriters are the best.
Yeah, sure.
I wish I wrote that. That's hilarious. That you
can't believe they went the pumpkin route.
I know. The pumpkin route is genius. That's really good. They're good over there at Manscaped. And they're not just good at writing innuendo ads. They're also good at shaving your balls. I don't know. They don't shave them, I guess. You do it. They don't. When you get the Performance Package 4.0, I don't want to mislead anyone. No one from Manscaped comes to your house to do it for you. But it's so easy that they don't need to. It would actually be an inconvenience. You could do it yourself with how great it is. Make sure you're getting the Performance Package 4.0. It includes the Weed Whacker. It's a total game changer to your men's hygiene arsenal. So get 20% off plus free shipping by going to manscaped.com/back. That's 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com/back. Say trick or treat to your beautiful new Halloweeny with Manscaped. Halloweeny, fellas.
It's called the Weed Whacker?
Yeah, the Weed Whacker, yeah.
What do you got going on down there that you need a Weed Whacker?
Hey, man. Not all of it. That's what I needed, okay? I needed the Weed Whacker.
Okay.
That's what you got to be doing. Again, manscaped.com/back, 20% off, place free shipping. Thanks to Manscaped, as always, for the support. All right, fellas. It's the end of the SPL round robin phase. You no longer have to play every team in the league. You guys got through it. Bear, you guys finished top two, so you got to pick your group.
Woohoo! Well done. Good job, buddy.
It really matters a lot. I am so happy we got top two. If we didn't make top two, I would literally just be so depressed and so sad right now that...
Oh, I'm glad that you got top two then.
I would just be so torn up inside.
Are you trying to say Neil should feel really bad about himself right now?
No. Neil...
That's kind of what it sounds like you're saying.
No, Neil doesn't deserve any kind of sadness or any kind of down on his day. Mm. Neil's a good guy.
That
sounds very sarcastic.
Thank you very much. I mean, I took it not sarcastic. I didn't think it was sarcastic until you said it sounded sarcastic. And now I don't know.
Well, now it's impossible to say for sure. I mean, obviously, picking your opponent's groups, I think it's like a cool thing in theory, but when it comes down to it, you're going to have to beat these teams anyways. I don't know. I think that...
Since it's top three, it just, if you're in Valk's group, you get a free pass. And then in our group, I think it's a little harder.
Yes, you guys certainly got the harder group, I'd say. We're going to go group by group here.
But the Valks, you know, unless something crazy happens.
They didn't win a set all phase. They've won.
And they all come to North America and then play, you know? Anything can happen, you know? It's 2 weeks away, I think.
Yeah, Neil, your thoughts on group play in general?
Just like the format?
Yeah.
I think it's a really exciting format if there is enough parity, but I think... Well, I mean, what's going on,
buddy? Why did you laugh already, man?
What's going on, buddy?
Baron nearly did a spit take right there.
Yeah, I did. I feel like I said it's a really good format.
Yeah, and instantly.
I didn't even say anything else, and then he started dying.
Yeah, instantly.
I just want to see where that goes, you know, where you're opening.
I was saying, if there's a strong parity, like, I agree with you. I think it's not the Valk's fault. I think that if they were North America, I think they could be a really good team. But I think given the circumstance, mentally, I think it's just a hard barrier to overcome when all five of you are just disadvantaged. It's just frustrating, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like mentally, that's probably where a lot of their games are being lost, is like more like that than the actual mechanical part. So, like Barry said, I feel like if you're in their group, like, it's hard not to just feel like you just get a free buy into the playoffs. For our group, it's a bit harder. But, I mean, at the end of the day, when you're a good team, you should just have the confidence to be like, we're not going to be last, right? Because all you have to do, essentially, pick up a win or two, and you can make it through. So, I think the format's really good, and it's exciting. But I think given the circumstances, like, it could be a bit better. But I don't think that's the format's fault necessarily. That's just the circumstances, so... But I like group stages. Yeah, I think they're fun. I think they're exciting as well for spectators.
Yeah, you know, I obviously agree with all that. And we'll talk about the specifics of the groups in a second. I do think it's worth noting, though, I don't think this is going to happen. But theoretically, it's much easier for the Valks to make it to playoffs than it would have been if it were they have to be top six in a round robin sort of situation,
sure.
Right? They only have to win one best of five in this scenario, and then win a tiebreaker match after that potentially. But you know, if one team, you know, I don't think it's out of the question, whoever they play round one, let's say they win their first best of five, right? They win their very first one. That team that they lost to now knows that they are really under heavy pressure, and the rest of that group is really hard. Right? Like, every other team in that group is really good. So they can potentially put a lot of pressure, and maybe it's a team that isn't mentally strong and they let that pressure get to them. And all of a sudden they go 0-3 and the Valks are sitting at 1-2. They only win that first best of five and they've moved on. So I think in that way it makes it a little bit more exciting and actually puts some pressure on Valk's opponents, whereas like right now, you know, if you're the top half of the league and you're playing against the Valkyries in a given week, you don't want to lose because you don't want to lose, but like, it doesn't matter as much if you lose to them in that situation, right?
For sure, yeah. Like, I remember last phase, it was like that for us with the Scarabs, right? They weren't nearly looking as good as they were this phase.
Yeah.
And we beat them the first game, and then we're just basically thinking, okay, like, we beat the team. Are they going to pick up two wins? Because if they only get one win, we have tiebreaker over them anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And if they only pick up one win, the other teams are probably getting two at worst case scenario. So it makes it really easy if there's a team at the bottom, right? But then again, on the other hand, like you said, if they beat somebody, all of a sudden you need to, or if they beat my team, for instance, say we're in the group, we would have to pick up another two wins against the other two teams because if we lost to them, unless there's a three-way tie, we would lose head-to-head, right? So it does make it very exciting that way. And I kind of agree with you that it's hard both ways, I think, for them to qualify if it was best of five or not, or just during the regular season top six. But I do agree with you. One best of five is a lot. It could be a lot easier because it's just one game, right? You can catch teams by surprise. If it was a best of three, I think I'd lean more heavily to being like, yeah, for sure. It's just going to be way easier for them to qualify when one of us three. But best of five is tough. It's still tough.
Yeah, best of five is a lot of smite.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a world where they're going to be any of those teams in that bracket.
Nor do I. Let's talk about that group.
Yeah.
Were you going to say, Barra?
It is stacked.
It is stacked, bro. It is tough. Group A, Leviathans, Dragons, Kings, and Valkyries. So Leviathans, the first seed, Dragons, and Kings. All three of those teams could be the best in the league at any given day. I think all three of those teams have been the best in the league on at different periods of this year. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Valkyries have not. But you look at this group, you know, the Kings have stumbled. They stumbled in group stage in phase one whenever we did this type of format. They lost to the Scarabs and ended up not going to playoffs. I'm just saying, if the Valkyries, let's say they play the Kings first best of five, the Kings now know that they probably have to 2-0 Leviathans and Dragons to guarantee that they don't need to play a tiebreaker. But they know they need at least one. Surely that pressure is going to make those games harder. Not unwinnable, but it's a team that hasn't played super well at playoffs, didn't play super well at the last group stage. Like, I've got to amp myself up for this group. Mm-hmm.
That is, you're being the real caster right now.
That is true. I know. You've got my attention. You've intrigued me.
Yeah, maybe they do win, actually.
All right, folks, win in the group, baby.
There's a chance.
No, I mean, realistically, I don't think any of us feel like the Valkyries are going to make it out of this group, as expected. But what do you expect? I mean, let's assume that the Valkyries don't then. What are you expecting to happen in this group? Barra, we'll start with you. What are you expecting this group to look like when it's all said and done?
I would say Leviathan. Well, it's kind of the order that I sent it. I think Leviathan's number one, Dragons two, Kings third, Valks fourth.
Okay. What makes you say Dragons over Kings?
Kind of what you said earlier, I think Dragons look way better at playoffs kind of forever, unless it's against Neil, at a very important event. And Kings, as you said, just haven't looked that great. And I can't see Leviathans, with how strong they've been looking recently, playing poorly in an important event. I just can't see Leviathans looking poorly.
Sure. Neil, what do you think this group is going to look like?
I agree, yeah. I feel like the Leviathans are kind of the most consistent team, it feels like. They're flexible in a lot of different ways. It feels like they're good at this meta, and they've kind of been a bit ahead of the meta up until now. Whether or not the meta changes for playoffs or not, we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, like Yarkor was the first one who's jamming Ardeo still every game. And if that was banned, Odins and Cerberuses, and then you saw everyone else kind of doing stuff like that. And Steve's obviously a flexible player too, so depending like if the meta is like hunters, you can play those, as mages, you can play mages. So I feel like they've just been a really consistent team. Their players are all really strong. And obviously they just finished first. So I mean, it's tough not to say the Leviathans kind of top in that group.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, Dragons and Kings, I do agree with Bear. I think that the Dragons have a lot more playoff experience that we've seen, especially in the high pressure situations. And even this year they've done really well in the playoffs. And I think against the Dragons, or against the Kings too, I think they perform usually pretty well. I feel like the Kings can be a bit wishy-washy, like they're up and they're down. You can get a really, really good Kings team, or you can get a Kings team that looks a little bit lost or a bit scrimmy. Mm-hmm. They're running around doing random stuff. So I think that the Dragons are probably more likely to finish above the Kings there. But like the crazy thing about playoff time is obviously it doesn't really matter historically what's happened. It's just who shows up, right?
Right.
So
yeah, you might know something about that.
Expected. Mine's just waiting to pounce. Mine's not underperforming. I'm just lying and wait.
Right, carefully. Storing up kinetic energy. Right.
Yes, yeah, like so I've got a certain amount of effort I can put in a year, and I bottle it. I bottle it. I compress it, and I unleash it all at once.
Is that the pitch you gave to Nika and Dardez and Vote? You were like, "Yeah, man, I've got so much effort I can give in 1 year."
The amount of effort I give even at the beginning of the year is more than every other player in the league, but just at the end, I triple down.
It's just
that, like, right now, it's just tough because I know that my teammates can't handle my effort right now. Mm. Like, Fred and Dardez in Europe, they can't handle it right now. If they had my pure effort, they would be in tears.
Mm.
It'd be so beautiful. They wouldn't learn anything throughout the year. We would just win every game. It would be so easy for us.
Like a shining beacon of light.
It'd be so boring. Yeah. It'd be like if I didn't pick Raw solo today. How boring would that be?
Yeah, I was going to talk about your set today, Neil. I was gassing you up for a little bit. You get killed early. I'm like, don't worry, guys. This is how Raw solo works. Yeah, the Raw game.
Bumba's spear is Dumba's spear thingy. It's bad. It's not good.
Are you saying you shouldn't have built it?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
I literally won the wave, and then I'm standing in my heel, boxing Arthur, and he's getting hit by archers the whole time, and he just owns me. I'm thinking, how is this possible? I thought, this isn't... Like, I was like Doctor Strange, you know, when he's like finding the one universe, and I was like, there's like a million times I win this. But no, the one happened, and he was crowning me, and it didn't feel good. And then Sam shows up, and he puts me in the dirt. And then I thought maybe with three draw passes I could outrun Arthur, but stupid God. And he was trying really hard, and I know he needed it more than me. So game two, not my best performance. I was mentally checked out. Game one, I thought it was okay. That's all I'm going to say about that. It was just fine. I was bored, though.
Yeah,
I can't believe I'm ever going to roll swap. And then he picks Serb, and I'm just thinking, like, oh, I Serb. Like, I have to first pick I'm first picking Ardeo. And then I'm hitting him in lane. I'm not doing any damage. I'm just thinking, like, this is what happens on my day. I get a play in a roll. I just sit here and stare at this guy. And then he kills me once, and then the game is over before I even get to see anything else. Like, it was not ideal.
Is that Nika? Like, were you like, Nika, is this what you're dealing with? And Nika was like, yeah, man, this is what I'm
Yeah, basically. Except for they were saying solo diff, and I'm sitting here in my lane, and Fine's here the whole time, too. And I'm just thinking, how is this solo diff? He's been here the whole time with me. We've been looking at each other, and I haven't even played the game yet. The Raw game, maybe. Okay, maybe. Maybe the Raw game. Okay.
Maybe.
You're getting totems, at least?
I was getting a lot of totems in game one, for sure.
Baron, you checked the line on that.
At least. I guarantee you, game one, I got at least the same amount as him, if not maybe more.
Barrett, can you VOD check that for me?
Well, I got the first two totems for sure.
We got the little totem counter top left.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time.
Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, all right.
I got at least, I got three, maybe four, maybe five, maybe six.
Mika in the chat saying he got like three. That's that, but the first one is the most important.
I got the first two.
Oh, guys, I mean,
yeah, the first two are insane. Liam was popping off in game one.
Yeah, game one. Game one was all, dude, and I called out immediately, whenever there was that role swap tournament, the beginning of season seven, I think it was, because it was an online role swap tournament. Vote played jungle, and I think he was playing like Alquong, and he went absolutely hammy salami in that tournament. I think Vote could be the next great jungler in the SPL. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that guy is just so talented.
Do whatever he wants. Neil did get more totems.
What do you mean, unfortunately?
yeah, that should
what
be good
are you
news,
saying,
right?
Unfortunately,
you know, I really thought you were just lying here, but
no,
you weren't.
Yeah,
sounds like you were doing your job. Okay, but how about game two? How many coups?
Oh, let's. I don't think I got one. I don't think I got one.
You guys did get one, but I don't know if you got it yourself.
That was me.
Was all you.
I raw one and I raw ulti to coup and I didn't get the coup and he still got it. I was so mad. I think raw ulti to coup and I didn't get it. I was so mad.
You raw ulti to coup.
Yes, that's I did. So funny. That's how bad. I was trying to help the boys. I raw ulti to coup and didn't kill him to coup. And I had a spear too. Like, what the hell?
Like, that is so funny, man.
Oh,
I can only imagine Fine like doing the coup and then a raw snipe and one.
What is the one?
You yeah, last the, combo yeah, you yeah. last combo the coup and he just like okay and then just
yeah,
and he just kills it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it turns out while your whole team was dying, I think that was when you got your only totem.
Big.
Well, what else do I have to do?
Yeah, we talk about training objectives all the time, Barra. That's just smart gameplay right there.
That's exactly. Right. I'm an opportunistic soul laner.
Yeah.
You give me an inch, I take the goo. You give me 2 inches, I win the game. You're so lucky you didn't give me one more inch. That game's over, baby.
You were 50% of the way there. That's the thing.
We were close.
Yeah.
One more chance, like that, the game is curtains.
Man, that is tough. I was saying game two, the raw solo, part of the... The aura of raw solo is that you have to die in lane multiple times. Like, you've got to die to a solo kill, you've got to get ganked and die, and then you're going to get your CDR online, and you're going to be zooming, you're going to be proxying, you're going to be able to do whatever you want. And then that part just didn't come to fruition.
Oh.
Let's wrap up this raw solo bit. It's a memory I'm trying to leave in the
dust. Yeah, sorry, Neil.
It's fresh. It's still fresh. I'm not going to lie. Not my best performance, but you live and you learn.
Fred also, dude, I was like, I can't believe you guys put Fred in ADC and then let him go against set ADC on ping. Like, you guys were just about that life.
Those guys showed up and they decided that's what they were doing. So I think that those guys are mean guys and they should be fined. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
I felt legitimately bad.
Unsportsmanlike conduct. I would have played ADC. They said they wanted to ping dual lane.
Ah.
I can't believe I agreed. I was putting on solo island. That role, like, I don't know how they do it, honestly.
What role did you want to play, Neil?
Mid. I would have played mid. Nika, I could have played jungle.
Did Nika bully you out of it?
Well, I mean, just the way it went, if we went... Well, just the way it went with the, you know, they had to go dual lane, the two ping guys, that was their thing. And then Liam was like, I need to be jungle, you know, have my debut again. I was like, that's fair. And then I can't put Nika in his own role. That's not fun.
Right.
Yeah. So I let my team have some fun today at my own expense.
Classic.
I was a martyr.
Classic team player. The ideal support.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's just how it is. Nika says, me and Liam said no side lanes for us. So.
Okay, side lanes suck.
Yeah,
they're awful.
I feel like Nika, we can toss some shade at Nika a little bit here if you want, Neil, because I feel like Nika was just kind of watching.
The person I am.
Well, he was just watching that whole game happen. I don't know that Nika was like, the game was just happening around him at all times, which can't happen to you in the mid lane. I respect that. But he was kind of on the run most of the, you know, I thought maybe he'd get in there with Vote. Vote was ahead. I thought maybe they can jam it in the 3v3, but I feel like Vote was doing it all, you know?
Well, all I know, Hunbass and Jay's my blue. I get my blue still because I'm incredible. Hunbass ganks me. I'm just thinking, surely there's action elsewhere happening. They did, like, I was raw solo, yes. Did I play well raw solo game? No. But did my team help me out?
Not
absolutely
a lot.
Not. Absolutely not.
Not a lot.
But you know what? We learned a lot from today, and we're going to bring this into playoffs. Maybe raw solo, not something I will be playing in particular.
But maybe Nika has a little bit more comfort on it, is what you're saying.
He could try it, but I would not recommend it to a friend.
Just ban Arthur and don't build Bumbas. We've got it.
Those are two things that you could do.
Why did you go Bumbas?
Someone told me to.
Who was the someone?
Well, there was like, there's a raw soul laner ranked, and they were like, that guy goes Bumbas. And I was like, okay. I was like, I'll try it. And then the second I had it, when I lost that wave, and I was just like, no, this is not it. But it was too late. I should have unplugged my PC, said remake, I've crashed. And then come back in, different story I am.
No one knows. I'm above that. No one I'm knows. Nika says, scaling, by the way, builds Bumbas. That's the raw solo player in ranked. Scaling, by the way.
I'm not that guy. I wish I was that guy today.
Yeah.
Or I let everybody down.
Unlucky. All right, let's talk about your group then, fellas, shall we? It's Group B. It's Bolts, Warriors, Scarabs, and Titans. This group, much closer, but without as many top five teams. Only two top five teams in this group, but with the Warriors and the Scarabs being such wild cards, I feel like this group is going to be a ton of fun to watch because it isn't, you know, Group A feels like a math equation. It's if the Valkyries win, then things get weird. But with Group B, it's like, who knows what's going to happen over here, which is pretty exciting. Barra, how do you feel about your team's position in this group?
Pretty confident. We beat all of these teams.
Sorry. I thought my mic was muted. Go on, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
We beat all these teams in the regular season. I mean, Neil says he's storing up energy, but, like, you know, is he really storing up?
Look at this guy.
Can he do it 3 years in a row? Like, I mean, if you want a real answer, like, just pretty confident. I feel like we know the meta now way more than we used to. There is the Assassin ADC meta forming. I'm not sure if that is an actual meta or if that's just what certain teams are playing to do or trying to do. But outside of that, I feel like we have a firm grasp on, like, every other role and whatever the role needs to do right now.
Have you been practicing your Baka ADC, Barra?
Yeah, that one confused me a bit. I'll be honest. I did not know what was happening in that set.
Writing that down?
Yeah, you don't got to worry about that, Neil. You're welcome. There's your intel that you paid me, that you demanded as compensation for coming on the podcast.
The first game, I thought it was actually Susanoo ADC, and I was like, okay, he's definitely going to go Baka jungle. Like, how is he going to clear a wave as Baka?
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes Baka, and then he sits under his tower. But unfortunately, like, I think I could have fought way more game one, but every time I saw layers come into my jungle, I'm just like, if I get ganked and the Baka gets fed, that's game over. So I just played like a beta and sat back in my lane the entire time, unless I saw layers. The Baka was definitely something weird. I don't know if they were just trying that for just testing purposes or if they actually, like, scrimmed with that a lot this week or something.
Yeah. I was just so surprised that they, like, went back to it game two. Like, game one, experiment, sure, didn't work, happens. Game two, they're like, give me that Baka ADC again. And that's what really surprised me more than anything.
I feel like it probably weren't experimenting. I mean, there was, like, that set had meaning, right? And then if you pick it twice, it's probably more, like, of a thing they liked. I don't know. And plus, SPL is kind of, like, the best practice you can get to in that way. So I guess, like, it was okay. Like, it's hard to say, but they probably tried it out a few times, but hard to say, you know? It's just, like, it does have meaning as a set, but at the same time, when you go into groups, you should just be confident, even if you're not picking the groups, that you're just going to be better than other teams.
Right.
I think the Titans have kind of gotten that right, obviously, being winners of the last playoffs and being successful. So,
yeah, interesting pick from them for sure. Neil, how do you feel about this group for you guys?
Yeah, I don't really care what group I'm in. Obviously, we're in a group with the Valk. It's kind of like what you said, just like just beat the Valk, show up, just beat one team. That's all you would have to do. You could literally role swap for the rest of the group. It wouldn't matter if you just beat that team. But like,
well, when you've got Vote, like you could role swap anytime. Yeah, it'd be good.
Agreed. I would play Raw, and I would just listen to what Barra said. Sit under my tower, not build Bumba's spear dagger thingy, and I'd be fine. But hey, sometimes that's not how the world works. But for her group, I just feel like you just can't be afraid to play any team. The same thing for rules as me for any playoff event. I don't really care what group I'm in. I don't really care who I play, because my mindset is just basically you're going to have to be the best team to win playoffs, to win worlds, to do whatever. So it's kind of just like you got to prove it at some point or another. It might be earlier in the tournament. You might get knocked out, not make quite as much money. It might be at the end of the tournament. Either you win or you lose in the finals. But either way, you still have to be the best. So it doesn't really bother me who's in my group. And I think there's also maybe a benefit, too, if you have harder competition early or like more parity and like a good warm-up set. It could be good for you going into playoffs, too. And seeing different metas as well, right? With the Titans in there, maybe the Assassin meta does become a thing. And those guys are kind of seem like they're the ones who are embracing it right now. So maybe that'll be good practice to see that a few times. So it's hard to say, but I think our group is competitive, and I think it'll be fun to watch. And I think that we're going to do really well.
What could you give me an order that you think for Group B as we did for Group A? Neil, you can go first this time.
It's pretty hard, I think, I feel like all of our teams haven't – like we've been all kind of up and down in Group B, in my opinion. Like the Bolts – when we played you guys early in the phase, I feel like we could have taken that series. We ended up losing, though. And then you guys were kind of wishy-washy, still getting wins, but weren't looking the best. And then closed out the split pretty strong. Titans, too, like they had just won playoffs. Same thing, kind of up and down, changing the meta a bit. Scarabs obviously look brilliant sometimes, look dreadful at other times. And it's just kind of like it kind of seems like Scream's their catalyst. If he doesn't get ahead, they don't look that spectacular. So I would obviously like to say us at the top of the group. I think that we have like incredible upset potential against anybody. It just comes down to if we show up and how our confidence is. I was saying if we took ourselves out of the equation, though, to be more, I guess, more objective about it, I would kind of expect it's hard. I don't know if I should put the Bolts or the Titans first. I kind of think maybe the Bolts above the Titans, mostly just because Bear's here and he scares me as a person.
Right, he's really scary. He yells at me all the time after podcasts. It's really scary.
I just feel like the Titans might troll. Like, I think their drafts are super sick. I think they're, like, maybe the best team at drafting right now or up there. But I feel like they kind of sometimes troll.
Yeah.
And I feel like in a best of five, you can just lose. And I feel like then, so Bolts, Titans, Scarabs maybe. If we're not included, I think we're going to beat the Scarabs, obviously, in that regardless.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Baron,
they
never
looked particularly good against us.
Yeah, you were one of the only teams to 2-0 them this phase. I think it was you and the Leviathans were the only teams to 2-0 the Scarabs this phase.
I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think that's true.
We are so good.
Just as good as the Leviathans.
It must be.
Have to be.
I agree with what Neil said. I think everyone's kind of went up and down as this phase has gone on. Like, I think phase two, we looked really strong for a long time, and then the metas changed away, and we were kind of confused. And I think finally, at the tail end of it, we, like, got our drafting down and figured out, like, our style. And I think we will edge out number one in this one, or in this group. I don't really know what's going to happen after that, because you have Neil in important matches, you have Scarabs that have looked good, like ramping up really good, and then you have Titans who just won the second phase playoffs. So I'm not sure what's going to happen in our group. I would like to say we'll end number one, but I think it's going to be pretty chaotic in our group.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm very excited for Group B in particular. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I realized that there's a patch coming out Tuesday, and we haven't talked about the vast majority of these changes. We don't have a ton of time left in this show, but we should probably try and hit those quickly. Because it's also important that you guys are going to be playing group stages on the new map. On the winter map.
That is crazy.
How do you like that, Barrow, when that happens in our tournament? I personally hate it.
I personally hate it as well.
I personally hate it. It's just so troll.
It's like you practice the whole time on this map and this meta, and then it's like, whoops!
Like, important tournament with the world's implications get patched on losers. We're like,
oops, slid this patch in.
Where did it come from?
Hey, part of being the best team is being the best at adapting, fellas.
You love saying that with a smug smile on your face. Yep.
That's right. You gotta be able to adapt. Have to be.
You can't deny that. You can't deny that.
What if you were a bad team before the patch, and then on the new patch you're a really good team? Does that make you the best team?
That exact moment, it means you're the best team right now, and it means that you've got a very strong particular set of skills that other teams
is that adapting
with.
Or just luck?
No, I think it can't be just luck, right? Like, no way, in no world could it be just luck.
So luck say
preparation meets opportunity. You combine them. Think about it.
Did we mislabel Anatoly on this podcast? Yes, Tolly would say that all the time.
I love the Phoenix. I just want to throw that up there.
Fair enough. I don't know. How much do you think this new map is going to change things? Because it's not like,
a lot for me.
Why do you say that?
There's snow on it. Home field advantage, baby.
Right, home field advantage. There it is.
The Fred, too. He's Danish. Let's go.
The Great White North. So you're complaining, and we're buffing you, Neil.
Yeah, I just like to complain, though. It's fun. Yeah, right?
It's like you're a Smite Pro player or something.
I'm the devil's... okay. You're going to make fun of my career and my identity?
We score one.
Messed up, man.
We score one for the home team right there. The missed mechanic. How big of a deal do you think that's going to be?
Pretty scary, I think. Just having to face check so many more things now. And I think Ward Chalice could come in more now. Mm-hmm. Maybe like more bracers now. Bracer was already bought a fair amount, but scrimming on this and then getting jump scared, that's going to be fun.
Wait until Kleen is available. You're going to get actually jump scared.
Yeah. She's going to be available for Worlds, right?
I do not know.
Okay.
I am not sure.
Because having to deal with the fog or whatever the mist, plus that god, won't be fun.
Spooky.
You know?
Oh, I can't wait to get some player cam reactions of Kleen like jumping out of the wall and them jumping. That's going to be so funny. We're going to play that 53 times on broadcast if that happens.
That's a lot.
A lot.
I can't wait for the mist and the lanterns, though. It's going to be great because I like to grief people. And if I have mist, that's just another tool in my arsenal, baby. True. I'm going to be striving. I'm going to be absolutely thriving in that mist. It's like I'm going to pick Sir Kett. I'm going to go into the mist and I'm going to three in the mist. And you're going to be God. So long.
You're going to be long.
It's going to be crazy.
Wait, do you get seen if a ward's on you then?
With Sir Kett?
Yeah, if you're invisible, you wouldn't, right?
I'm pretty sure no. But it's hard for me to know because sometimes you just forget. Maybe this thing, maybe it's not.
Well said. Well said. I'll retweet that instantly.
Okay.
All right, so balance changes. I'm not going to go over all of them, but we'll go over some that impact you guys and like some big meta ones potentially. Leather Cowl, losing 2 MP5, decreasing the lifesteal from 10% to 7%. And then Hunter's Cowl, losing 5% attack speed and 5% from the attack speed aura, so 10% total. How much does this change what you're going to be building, Barra?
Pretty important. I think we might see more like Death Toll builds coming in. Obviously, I'll have to play test on it a lot, but I don't think Death Toll feels too bad right now. Cowl obviously feels the best, but I'll have to do a lot of testing this week. I'm just kind of see what feels better. Because even right now, I don't really know exactly what starter I want to go. Some games where I'm just like, I'll just kind of close my eyes and pick one.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I mean, Bluestone has felt bad every time I purchased it. Okay. That's fantastic.
Yeah, we know that.
Yeah, Cowl, I think Cowl will still be bought sometimes, but I think the upgrade nerf definitely hurts, like, playing around objectives and teamfights and everything.
Yeah, makes sense. Neil, here's one for your role. Prydwen now only scales based on protections from items, so that means it no longer includes base prots, but increased shield health, scaling from protections from 100% to 125%, and increased the magical damage scaling from shield health from 50% to 75%. So a nerf to these hybrid junglers and that kind of stuff that we're kind of building this every once in a while should be better for you, I think. The math works out in your favor for tanky supports building, Prydwen.
Yeah, it sounds like it does, and I think late game too. Like, I feel like a lot of support builds, if you're being pretty selfish, you end up getting a ton of protections, right? It's not uncommon. Like, I even think once in SPL, I was like, I wanted to build like an ore item for my team, like over to cap the prod almost, that probably at my sentinels. So it definitely helps in the long run, but I mean, I don't think it's a huge difference maker for Prydwen, because you're not really building it like, oh, it's this ult, like, item proc is going to, like, kill the carry for sure. Like, the damage isn't super, it's not negligible, but it's not also super impactful, especially when the other support finishes, like, Compassion or Sentinels. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like your damage drops off significantly then as a support. But I feel like the cooldown is just kind of, like, it's just a good bridge item. It has everything you want. It's cooldown, survivability when you ult, a slow, a little bit more damage, and then both protections. So I think it's just a good catch-all item, kind of. Yep. It has a lot of benefits when you ult, so I don't really think it changes too much for supports. I think it might be a bit more damage, but it's hard to say, right? Like, you have to do the math, and maybe late game it'll be a bit more, but like I said, it probably won't do a ton just because of Sentinels and Compassions, etc. But
right.
Yeah, I don't think too much of an impact there. We'll have to see, though. I haven't really done the math or anything on that yet.
Spectral Armor no longer reduces damage from magical crits. This really only matters for Olerun and Guardians and Mages hitting a target that is affected by Failnot's passive, but that item's not getting bought, so really only Olerun. Barra, does this make you actually think that Olerun could be playable?
Probably not.
Neil, how about you as a support? Do you feel like this was the item keeping Olerun down?
Maybe. Might have been keeping Olerun's support down.
Mm.
But realistically, I just think the Guild's probably just not that good in this meta right now. Probably. Sure. Hard to say, though, for sure. Feel like you would maybe see it in duo lane. I think the lane's too long for him. He'd be really scary. In mid, maybe you could play it, but I feel like probably not.
Dude,
still.
Imagine playing Olerun versus Set ADC. How impossible your lane would be. Like, no way you could ever keep that character off of you for any significant
amount. You honestly might. It might not be the worst, but he would just get Jotuns and then ult you, and then you would ult, and then he would come back and he would do it again.
He might be able to ult you twice before you can ult him again. That cooldown is so long.
Very likely.
All right, let's go over some big meta god nerfs. Tiamat loses 5% damage mitigation from her passive, 30% to 25, and decreased the power scaling on her floating one. It goes from 122.5%. If you hit all five projectiles to 105%, so a pretty, I think two pretty good nerfs to Tiamat. Will she finally not be really good, Barra?
I hope so. You know, I
well said.
That character, I thought she was dead after the, or not dead, but after the minion nerf, I was like, okay, maybe she's dealable with, and then she's like a cockroach. Like, she just keeps coming back and coming back.
Yep.
I hope that it finally kills her. Because, like, if she gets that one on a carry in a team fight, you're literally just dead.
Yep.
Like, you have to Aegis the one, or you just die. And then it's like, you have so many other buttons that she throws at you that you need to Aegis. It's just really annoying playing against that character.
Yeah, Neil, any quick thoughts on Tiamat after this?
I don't think it's enough, really, to stop her. I think her kit is just... it's just good. Having damage mitigation on a mid laner is just really good. The fact that she has like a dash is really strong.
Yep.
I think scaling nerf is like, it's a good nerf. The scaling nerf on a one for sure. But I mean, are you really just thinking like, if this Tiamat didn't hit me like 17.5% less scaling with the one, we would win this fight? Like, probably not.
Mm.
I just think she's really good with the items that are up too, right? Like, the people are going Soul Gem, amazing on Tiamat. Her cooldown's already low and you have a bunch of cooldown on her. Mm-hmm. Soul Reaver really good on her. Her ult is just very versatile. Like, obviously, just using, like, all three of her ults are just good, right? The Minutes.
I know you love the Minotaur. Mm-hmm.
That thing, before it got nerfed, was literally so annoying. And, like, people didn't understand the thing as a support. If it stuck to you and hit you for, like, 800 damage, and it would just follow you and hit you, and you can't kill it.
Smack
it was
you.
So lame. It was so lame. And it lasted for, like, 30 seconds or something. I'm like, bro, I had that thing once. Like, I was at, like, my purple buff, and I ran, like, over to, like, their blue, and the thing followed me the whole way and hit me the whole time. And I was like... I literally lost like a third of my life bar to this freaking thing, and it by the time it expired, it's up again. It's like, what the hell? And I'm like, guys, don't please hit this thing. Like, it's killing me. They're all like, no.
We're busy. We're farming.
Anyways, now that you've given me a bit of PTSD,
yeah,
I still, like, all in all, I think the character is still good. I think the nerfs are good. But I think, like, the damage mitigation, like, 5% less isn't enough to kill the character. Mm-hmm. The way she works, you can stack up a bunch of scales. And then I think a little bit off the one, just not enough to kill the character. I think they're good nerfs for sure. And I think she does have some weaknesses in the kit, but I don't think it's enough to kill the character. It kind of reminds me of, like, not quite the same, but when Arthur was out, they had to nerf him a bunch of times just based on how good his kit was. And just because you take a bit of damage off or this or that, like, the character's still good, just inherently.
Sure.
So,
Raijin, the other mage that gets nerfed in the main patch, decreased the scaling on Tycho drums. He loses 10% per shot. So it goes from 200% scaling to 160% scaling. Feel like this is a pretty hefty nerf. Losing 40% scaling on your ultimate is, like, a lot. That's a lot of scaling.
Yeah.
To lose. I have to imagine this is going to take Raijin pretty far down in terms of, you know, maybe someone like Shinto will still play him that, like, is a real, like, Raijin specialist, but I think you're going to really feel this damage nerf in the late game in particular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, yeah. 40% is a lot, right?
Yeah.
Like, especially an ultimate ability. The only thing that I would say about Raijin is that he's just really strong because his ult goes a long distance, and around the fire giant you can actually hit carries is feasible.
Yeah.
Or something like TM at one. Like Barry said, if it hits you at the Agassi, yeah. But I think if your team's playing well, TM at probably shouldn't be wanting you unless you're kind of screwed already.
Yep.
But I feel like Raijin is not unusual for a Raijin one, like one of them to squeak through and hit somebody. So I think he still does have a good value. But if you're getting dove and you're doing 40% less damage and you're getting all in, that's going to feel bad for sure.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really good nerf to Raijin for sure. I like that they didn't touch like his normal abilities. Because I feel like if he just had a huge damage nerf in his normal kit, he would just feel terrible, like unplayable. I like that it was just kind of the ult nerf, and even then, right, like, you could use the taunts or the fears and they still get good value. They don't really do much damage anyway, so.
Right.
I like that they kind of just touched his ult, so I think it's a good nerf. And I think it probably will make people a little bit less feisty and less ready to pick that character.
Yep. Bera Charybdis gets 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bullet points of buffs.
Wait, that much? I thought it was just like base power and scaling on like her 3 auto attacks.
Allow me to read. Increased base physical power from 34 to 38. Increased percent damage on the triple shot basics from 33% each to 40% each. So now you do more damage if you hit all three than what one person would do with one auto attack.
Mm-hmm.
The passive decreased the item damage reduction from 35% to 30%. Yeah. So now you're dealing 70% of an item damage. On the one, increased damage onto minions from 60 to 100% to 80 to 100%. And increased the splinter damage physical scaling from 10 to 15%. And on the ultimate, she can now move freely in all directions while in her ultimate state. So you get omni movement in the ult, which should make it feel a lot better.
That's called omni movement. Interesting.
That's what I have now dubbed it. I don't know if that's an official term.
Okay.
But that's what I'm going to say. This guy's got to be, like, not that bad, right?
I think she felt pretty good. I like playing her a lot. My team, you know, we'll have to convince those guys. But personally, I do like playing the character a lot. I do think she's actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And she definitely needed buffs. I don't know if she needed that many buffs.
Yep.
But she is definitely going to be good. I think she'll be seeing a lot of play at playoffs.
Yeah. Damn, dude, you took my hot take. Here's my hot take.
Oh.
I think Charybdis is going to be the most contested hunter at playoffs after these after these buffs.
Wow.
I think so. Because she still has new character sheen on her, right? Like,
yeah.
You know,
but like
people are used to playing
really
against her.
Know exactly what's going to happen when you go on her. So yeah.
No one's really sure about her damage output quite yet. Her two is an absolute bonkers ability. That ability is insane how much damage and prot shred it does. Mm-hmm. I think she's going to be a heavily contested hunter. Maybe Uller gets more prio, and if you count Set, but I think after Uller and Set, that's what I'm going to go with. That she is the highest prio hunter. Neil, you're deep in thought.
Yeah, I'm thinking about every matchup in the game for him. Run the math.
Oh my god.
For her.
Oh wow.
Running the math.
You really are Doctor Strange.
Sometimes. Don't get that many use of it a year, though. You know, you gotta save it.
Wow, so you're using one live on the podcast?
See, well, yeah, it has implication for playoffs, you know.
Okay.
It's kind of a catch-all. Yeah, but maybe, honestly. I feel like that character has good value now. Mm-hmm. Like, in some sense, I feel like the character's damage is just way too low in the current state to be a good character, in my opinion. The way she plays and the way her abilities work, you can't really hit people unless they're close to you, and her damage isn't that high with their autos, so she wasn't that great of a character. Mm-hmm. But getting that many buffs, I feel like, could push her over the edge, because she's already really annoying to dive. And I feel like in lane now, like, if you get really good at using the 3, and if people aren't used to playing with you, the 3 gets a ton of value. Is like a kind of like a Chernobog dash almost on crack in some ways. So I feel like that character does have a lot of value, and into assassins and stuff, if you're hard to dive, hard to kill, it could be a good option in lane as well if that becomes a thing. And in dive metas too, people are playing assassins and they're trying to dive you, like, that character is going to be a pain. So I definitely think that character could get some play, but I don't know if it's enough just to say this character is just going to be the most contested hunter. I do like the hot take as a possibility, but I just kind of think the character's damage inherently, like, it's just a bit... I don't like the way the 2 works for laning in early game, personally. I think it's a bit low pressure. Mm. Like, you have to be really close to somebody to hit them with it. So I feel like in Hunter 1v1s, it's not, like, a super viable ability to just going to slam somebody with, right? Mm-hmm. But that being said, I feel like against, like, honors and stuff, like, you do pretty well because he can't jump on you, things like that, right? But
yeah.
We'll see. I'm not obviously an ADC main. But yeah, I feel like they're really good changes. I just think that character is going to be really annoying to play against as someone, like a support trying to initiate, right? Like, those characters always are the ones that are instantly kind of just gone. You can't target them. They run away. They're fast.
Yep.
They come out. They have a pseudo Scylla ult, run away really fast. It's like, okay, like, I'm blinking on you, but I'm not really getting value for my blink if you're just going to run off.
Yep. Yep. So. That character is hard to dive for sure. Kernanos, Bera, I know you're a Kernanos lover.
Oh, yeah.
The ultimate now deals damage to minions and jungle camps and bosses. How much does it matter?
That's not the way I would have buffed him, but sure, that is a quality of life change. Now those pesky ADCs are hiding those minions, you know. Yeah. Ooh, I can hurt the wave.
It is a nice niche buff for that, right?
Yeah.
It does, like,
for the 1v1, you're in the wave, I can still kind of hurt you, but
their jumps are down, their relics are down too. Yeah,
like, it's like, it really is like a stars aligned niche situation, isn't it?
Bera, how would you have buffed Kernanos, huh?
I think his 1 needs, like, quality of life changes. That ability feels so bad to actually change stance in a team fight with.
Yeah, agreed.
Like, you can literally interrupt your auto attack chain so bad in a team fight by trying to change to, like, do the best stances. Like, it shouldn't interrupt your auto attack chain, in my opinion.
Yeah.
What if it cycled, like, automatically? Like, if you hit, like, 1 auto, went to the next season or something?
That'd be cool, actually.
I feel like players would complain that they lose control.
Yeah, but I feel like the seasons, you don't have control over the seasons, man.
Ooh, a little theme buff.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I like that.
Yeah. Okay, a little theming buff. I can get down with that. It would be kind of cool to make them really strong in that way. Like, we could definitely make them way stronger effects if you couldn't control them.
Don't do that.
What do you mean?
Don't do that.
Every, like, 4th auto, your summer auto just hits for, like, an extra 150. Just slam.
That's good. It could be. Oh. Yeah, that could be okay.
Also, I would I'll do one quality of life, and then I'll make the two dot damage actually do damage. Okay, so story time. Clumsy D on patch notes said that Cernos was a full powerful, you know, ability-based hunter. I built him full power, full ability-based hunter. Your two still hits for about 200.
That's not a lot.
Like, regardless of the build.
You kind
of
have one ability, right? Because, like,
you know, you're three.
You could dash. Like, in a 1v1, like, if your phase elfing is one person, current, like, one of the best guys of the game is just you two in a ring. But, I mean, like, how often are you two-ing them and, like, dashing into them and, like, hitting them with your ult?
Okay, I've got it. Like, you pick Odin, you pick Kernanos. Your Odin blink cages their front line or whatever, he goes on the Kernanos, then just leaves. Just leaves him in the cage. 1v1. You versus him. Kernanos wins.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably.
All right, there you go. We figured it out. Guys, you just got to be more creative like me, okay? That's what you got to do. You just got to be more creative this way.
I'm going to start formulating drafts around that. Guys, Kern is so good. If we could just get him in a ring with one guy and just have him to fight, it would be so good.
Yep, I nailed it. You're welcome.
We pick Kern, Owen's bed. Ah, it's ruined.
No, how do we let it happen? All right, the last buff I want to talk about is the one that I'm the most excited about because I can't wait to play this god after this buff. Agni gets a new feature, if you will. Noxious Fumes now deals bonus damage when it successfully stuns an enemy. It deals 20 to 100 plus 20% scaling. He also decreased mana cost on his 2, and his ultimate mana cost goes from 0 to 10. That's actually a buff to gain 10 mana, to make it cost 10 mana, because now things like Gem of Focus will work on Agni, because they can't work on abilities that have 0 mana cost, because then gods like Hell could just buy Gem of Focus and keep it stacked up really instantly for free with no downside. I'm so pumped about this Agni change. I think it is so cool. It's, you know, it's not a huge buff, but it kind of is in the sense that you're just adding 20% scaling to his late game, because oftentimes what you're doing late is you're two stunning because that's your fastest option, and your two isn't hitting because they're max range, and so your two's on cooldown and it didn't deal any damage, and your one's on cooldown and it's stunned but it didn't deal any damage. Now at least you get 20% scaling. And I think that's actually going to feel like really good. I think it's going to make a pretty big difference for this character. How big of a deal do you think this is for Agni?
I think it's pretty big for Agni players. I think if a pro player is not already playing Agni or doesn't have them in like their arsenal or whatever, I don't think they're going to pick him up. But I think if they've been an Agni player for a long time and they were just looking for an excuse or a reason to play Agni or tell their team, hey, Agni looks good here, he got buffed, they're probably going to lock him in.
Group A should get ready for Big Man Tings to lock in Agni, because you know he's going to. That guy loves playing Agni.
What about Fred?
What about Fred?
What? He's dangerous on the Agni jungle.
Is he?
Oh.
Historically.
Is that true? I don't remember him playing Agni jungle at all.
What? You guys don't know what Agni jungle for Fred?
No, I don't.
No.
I was trying to think of like Quagni? You don't know about Quagni? Yeah. Quagni?
I was going to say Fred and Agni and then decided I couldn't. So, yeah, no. The filter caught that one, luckily. Yeah, thank goodness.
I was going to say, yeah, it seems like a nice little change. Kind of like a bear said, I don't think it pushes him over the edge, but I think it's definitely nothing to scoff at. Like you said, like an extra 100 damage plus 20% scaling. 20% scaling on a mage is a lot. And they're talking about Tiamat 117.5%. We're saying, like, is that, that's a big change? Is it enough to make her viable or not? Raijin 40% on his ult, like one per shot. So just giving a god 100 damage plus 20% scaling late game, that's nothing to scoff at. Especially like you said, these characters have a ton of abilities. You have a ton of cooldown. That one's coming up multiple times in a team fight, probably. Like, that's a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is good, but I don't think it's enough to make him just OP or anything. Because I think Agni's a, he's kind of a matchup-dependent character most of the time.
And he's not very good when assassins are good, I would say. Assassins absolutely eat him.
Just not good with assassin metas.
Yeah.
Historically, generally.
Like, Dodgy's already good, and imagine someone picking Agni and Dodgy's still open. It's like, oh, guess I lost. Like,
just, yeah, it's not good.
Can't play the game anymore. that matchup is absolutely horrendous. So I don't know. We will see. I'm excited to play some Agni and ruin some ranked games with him, but that's about it.
I do want to say I wish they did these style of buffs more often.
Hmm.
Because I feel like a lot of the older characters in Smite are just kind of forgotten about a lot of times, and their kits are just, like, super basic and don't really do much. But I feel like they could do these sorts of buffs, like, on a lot of the older school characters, and just kind of, like, not release new gods, but kind of, like, fix the ones we already have.
You want some new tech for old gods. Some people, some players, I think, are really against those types of changes. If I had to guess, I agree. A lot of, like, you know, purists, like, his kit's fine the way it is. It just needs to do more damage or whatever. And, like, they don't want that functionality to change. But I agree. I think that these types of buffs are super exciting. Like, this motivates me to go and play this character, like, a ton. Like, think about, like, Thor's mini rework, like, adding the lightning damage to his ultimate and changing the way his three worked. Like, I think those types of changes are super exciting, and you don't have the risk of reworking an entire kit and really losing the fans of that initial design. Just adding a bit of extra seasoning to what we already got is the way I would describe it. And I think they're super exciting.
Agreed, yeah. I 100% agree with you.
Yeah, we're all in agreement, fellas. Good work.
Yeah.
We're doing great out here. We're all prospering.
We are doing great out here. All right, it's time for the random question of the week. And I actually thought of one this time, which is... I don't think it's a super good one, but I thought of it, and here we go. I've been playing some different games. I've been playing the new Ratchet & Clank on my PS5. And I've been playing Metroid Dread on my Switch. And so these are new installations of old game series that have been really dope. Ratchet & Clank has been unbelievable. It's been so fun. Metroid Dread blew me out of the water. Was not expecting very much, but have really loved it. And so I was wondering about some of your old favorite old game franchises that you'd be really excited to play a new version of. That you're excited to, like, maybe a new fresh take on a nostalgic old series, because the nostalgia I feel for playing Ratchet & Clank is, like, heavy. It is so good.
I used to love, well, a lot of the ones kind of are getting remade right now. Like, I used to love Blizzard when I was young, and I remember just playing Diablo 2 a ton, and like my brother and my dad would play, and it got remade. I've been playing that a bit.
Is it good?
It's weird because I know the game. In nowadays standards, there's not, like, a lot of content. These old games, like WoW, when it was remade and stuff,
The
games are kind of solved in a way. Like, when you were young and you played them, you were a bit clueless and the game was hard. But nowadays, when you play them, everyone knows exactly what to do and they're really easy.
Yep.
Same with, like, Diablo, right? Like, when I was playing it, I played so many hours of that game and I never, like, got any loot. I didn't really know what I was doing. The game was hard. And now I played it and I played it for a little bit. I beat the game. I'm getting, like, all this loot. I know what to do. I know the game isn't really that good, but I just know the nostalgia from it's, like, carrying it a lot for me.
Yeah.
That game has been pretty fun.
So you'd be excited. Well, in the context of my question, you could just say, like, Diablo 4, like, the next one that's coming out, right? They did 3 of them.
Yeah, maybe. But at the same time, too, some of those, like, grindy games, I've kind of honestly been feeling as I got older, I'm kind of growing out of them, honestly. Like, those grindy games.
Yeah.
Like, some of the ones I might still enjoy at the remade, like, the Smash games were a lot of fun for me when I was young.
Yep.
I liked playing, like, Mario Kart and stuff. Those have always been fun, even those remakes. I liked playing, like, Kirby on my Game Boy and Pokemon. Some of the twists on those, I think, make it a bit harder to get into. Like, there's so much new stuff in them, it's, like, a bit lame. But even Metroid, like, I played Metroid on my Game Boy, and I feel like if I picked that up, that'd be great. So I feel like there's a lot of game franchises that are being revitalized now. It's not really uncommon, which is kind of sad also because there's not a lot of new content coming out. It kind of feels like a lot of these companies... like regurgitating
stuff. It's so much. It's that's so true, but it's so much worse with movies. Like, when was the last new movie idea that came out? I feel like it just, like, rarely happens. You know?
Yeah.
It's all franchises and remakes and all that kind of stuff. It's lame. But now, you know, there are new movies that come out. I'm not saying there aren't any, but
yeah,
I feel like it's really noticeable in that industry for sure. Bear?
Okay, mine, I don't think you guys have heard of this game.
Oh, boy.
But I played it a long time ago, and I had to actually look it up to make sure I got the name right. It was called Warlord's Battlecry. And it was one of the... And I played the third one a lot and absolutely loved it. And you basically got your own hero, and you could level him up as the game progressed. And it was kind of like StarCraft and Warcraft, but
yeah,
you
kept
a hero. Yeah,
it looks just like Warcraft.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
But you would keep a hero, like, growing the whole time with, like, items from, like, the campaign, or you can play against, like, computers, because I don't think that it was online back then. But that was a series that I really enjoyed and just loved that style of keeping a hero and kind of growing with them as you play the campaign.
Mm.
And then also, I would say a game like Warcraft 3 that just had those style of custom games that could possibly touch the nostalgia I had back then for...
Oh. We lost him. Ladies and gentlemen.
He got too nostalgic.
Oh, no, we got to reel back in.
He froze in time. No.
He went back to his days where he loved Warcraft 3.
Coming home from school and just play.
And he's back.
Hello?
And he's back.
Back in time.
You tripped.
You were talking about nostalgia and you froze. And you had like a time rewind.
Yeah. How was playing Warcraft 3 custom games again in your brain?
For the first time.
It was so nice, man. nothing comes close to those.
Yeah,
like that's something I really wish that Smite had, and I feel like it wouldn't be such a better game if it did. Just customizable custom games, like custom games literally keep you coming back forever. Mm-hmm. And I think Halo did it really well. I think Blizzard did it really well with StarCraft and Warcraft.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think Smite has so much room to grow in that area. Like, I just wish that we could make our own, like, Smite carts and all of those things and just kind of, like, troll around RPGs.
Yeah.
I just feel like they just really missed a window with that, because custom games in Warcraft and StarCraft, literally, and Halo as well, like, all of those were so fun.
Yeah.
I played those for so many. Like, tower defenses were born from that. I played those so much. Like, footmen battles or whatever. Like, Dota was always important. Like, all those games were so sick. And I just came home and I played them for hours and hours and hours. That definitely could be awesome for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right.
I love that.
Custom games, that's the wave. All right, that'll do it for this week's episode of The Backliners. Neil, thanks so much for coming on.
Wait.
Oh, yeah, by all means.
I forgot. Last time we talked about multi-grain scoops. I bought some. I haven't tried them yet.
Do you want to go get them right now?
I don't know. Well, I just bought them, and you were literally like,
let me do the close idea, and you go get them, and then we'll do a little live try right on the air. I'm calling you out to see if you actually bought them.
Right now,
yeah.
I can't eat on stream.
Oh, you
can't.
Do
you have
can't.
Any like
That's
salsa
right.
or cheese dip or anything?
I do.
I've got some multigrain scoops downstairs. I have some in my house right now with some salsa. They are very good.
I'll tell you my thoughts.
Okay. All right. I totally forgot about that.
Unless I don't tell you my thoughts.
No, dude, you got to tell me your thoughts.
Okay.
All right, he's going to. Yeah, thank goodness we got through that. Thanks so much for coming on, Neil. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Oh, I almost forgot, Bera, about our new top secret that is no longer going to be a secret development. Here's the deal, chat plus podcast listener/viewer. We love doing our AMA episodes. Those are some of our favorite episodes to do. I think they're super fun. And because we love the interaction that it brings with the chat. And the guys over at Prediction have been working on a new type of platform for us to do those on. So here's the deal. November 14th, that is the second Sunday in November, we will be having our show as normal. It will be an AMA episode. But, and here's the cool thing, you guys are going to be able to video call in and ask your questions to us live on the air. You can be a part of the show, Neil included. Yes, Neil, you could do it too. You could call us up and be a part of the Backliners. I think it's going to be really fun and bring the next level of interaction to the show. The way we'll do it is via tickets that you will buy in order to be able to be in the exclusive audience, and you'll get some other perks and bonuses from that. It's also just a great way to help support us and the show, is to get one of these tickets. Don't worry, you do not have to purchase a ticket in order to watch the show. The show will go on as normal. But if you want to support the show and be involved with it, this is a great way to do so. So we'll be releasing some details about how those tickets are going to work and all the other perks that you're going to get a little bit later. But just wanted you to put it all on your calendars. November 14th is our special debut episode of the live AMA. So very excited about that. Shout out to the guys at Prediction for getting it all working. And we're pumped to check it out. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. Good point. Thank you from the guys in the chat. It does max out at 100 live participants. So, you know, we're going to have plenty of space. We got to answer 100 questions, Bear. How are we going to do that?
Easily.
Easily. Oh, all right. How many do you think we normally answer in an AMA?
About 20.
Yeah, I was going to say, no way we answer more than like 30.
Sometimes we are very long-winded with our responses, and we will just keep going.
There's no way you guys get derailed. No shot.
Here's the deal. I will promise you this. We will, if that episode has to be super long, it'll be super long. We will answer every question from every live participant. I promise you that. Unless we can't answer the question, in which case that's on you and not on us. So get over it.
You're an idiot.
Barra said. So again, November 14th, more details coming soon on how to purchase those tickets, but very excited about that. Shout out to once again to Manscaped. You head over to manscaped.com/back to get 20% off plus free shipping on your order. Those are our sponsors for this episode, and yeah, that'll do it. Make sure you give us a ratings, tell us we're handsome, all that kind of stuff.
Sweater aggro, buddy.
Thanks, man. I get compliments on the sweater every time I wear it, so now I just wear it all the time.
It is great.
Thank you. It's got these little.
Yeah,
like,
I like your t-shirt
sleeves.
Too, Neil. Actually,
thank you very much.
Yeah, cassette tapes, those are good. Bear, I was noticing.
You
I thought
awesome.
Your
you
facial
so
hair
fantastic.
Was is well trimmed right now.
Yeah, and yeah. Your hair looks great too.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Just a whole thing of positivity. Here's the good news, Chad, is that we're gonna turn off the stream. And then we're all going to start screaming at each other about how much we hate each other. That's.
I'm just going to scream, I love the Backliners. They're my favorite. Let's go.
That's right. That's what we get here. So thanks, everyone, for watching. We'll catch you next week here on the Backliners. Bera, do the thing.
Bye.
Clean.